Hi, Ben.
Hi, Tracy.
How's it going?
It's going all right.
So, when I was coming over here, I was thinking about what song we should sing. What song?
This is the first you've said about singing today. You said we were doing a podcast.
I was thinking about it all day.
Okay.
What is that song we were singing earlier today? The song you were singing. Billy Joel something. Come on. You got to sing a song before we get all, like, serious.
I don't know. My stomach just growled, though. I'm apparently hungry.
That one, because your stomach wanted to sing.
My stomach wants to sing. What song? It was a Billy Joel song. It was, God, what is it? Still Rock and Roll to Me, I think.
Still Rock and Roll to Me. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. You're reacting to my song. It's good.
What's the matter with the clothes I'm wearing?
I don't know. Nothing's wrong with the clothes I'm wearing. But you? I don't know. I mean, you're not wearing a hat, so.
Out of style.
All right, so we should actually get serious and talk about really cool things.
Really cool things. What kind of really cool things you want to talk to me about?
Well, you and I haven't talked about, like, super cool things in quite a while, especially related to RxJS.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I just don't care. I'm just kidding. Okay, so first thing I want to talk about is T-Rex.
T-Rex, the dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
With little arms.
Go ahead and explain T-Rex, Ben, because I'm really excited about T-Rex. I think everyone is excited about T-Rex.
Well, you actually helped me name it, because I just named it Tiny RX.
Yeah, which wasn't cool.
So there's a
private... T-Rex is so much better.
There's a private repository that I have that I built a prototype version of RX that is very, very small.
Baby.
So I called it Tiny RX, and you were like, oh my God, you should call it T-Rex.
Yeah.
So I did.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea.
So great idea, when I say small, right now, currently, the actual, if you were to bundle and gzip, minify, bundle and gzip all of the operators in current RX, it ends up being something like 30 kilobytes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do the same thing with T-Rex, which includes only about 67% of those operators, it's only 3 kilobytes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's much, much smaller.
It's very exciting. So, and if people accidentally import it and F up like they usually do with RX, so then it's not going to bite them in the butt.
Less of a big deal.
Yeah. It's really exciting. So tell me a little bit more about why that's so amazing. And what is the 60-70% operators? That kind of scares me.
60-70% of the operators were actually implemented in that prototype.
Well, yeah, I know, but like you're taking away 30% of my life.
Oh no. I just didn't implement all of the operators in the prototype. It was more just to see like how big
it would be.
How big is this with the essentials plus some extras, right?
Okay.
But T-Rex is, I've got bad news.
It's not going to be called T-Rex because it's just going to be RxJS 7.
Yeah, the T-Rex, that repository is never going to see the light of day.
I know.
It was just a prototype.
You know, I just read your mind right there, right? Like, yeah. It was amazing. I'm good at this.
You are. Maybe you could just do this.
Wait, no, not really. Okay, so what other exciting questions do I want to ask you about T-Rex? Okay, like, how did you do that? Why is it so much smaller?
Let's see. There's a variety of reasons it's a lot smaller. For one, one of the things I did is I went through and I implemented a lot of the operators in terms of other operators.
Okay.
So for example, the operator reduce is really just scan and then take less. One of the things I played around with was actually implementing map and filter in terms of scan. So you could have a scan, and if it returns, whatever it returns, you just build map off of that, right? Like you don't care about the internal state. So you could build map that way. However, one of the things I did learn is you probably want to have a custom implementation of map because it's kind of a hot path for RX. So you want that to perform as well as possible. But other things like reduce, again, is scan, take last, and it's not really a hot path. To array is just a specialty of reduce. So, I mean, you can kind of whittle these things down to one line of code instead right. of, you know, 40 or 50 or whatever.
That's pretty amazing.
So, yeah, that's pretty good.
All right, but I want to know other secrets about T-Rex before we move on to the next topic I want to talk about.
Oh, so what's the next topic you want to?
The roadmap.
The roadmap. So, well, the roadmap is really just to get
to current T-Rex.
Yeah, current RX to T-Rex. Yeah. Yeah, that's
the whole thing. You're drawing a dinosaur for me, right? And we're passing around like hopping dinosaurs.
Yeah, we can draw. Maybe we can draw one on the whiteboard in a little bit. Draw a dinosaur.
All right. So, anything else you want to talk about T-Rex about, or should we go into a roadmap?
So, I mean, T-Rex, it does slide into it because T-Rex represents, you know, where we would like to go with RX. And there's a few problems with RX currently. Mm-hmm. It performs quite well, with the exception of it takes a long time to download and it adds, you know, and a long time to parse comparatively for what it should. Especially compared to like T-Rex or something. And then the other problem is right now we've got this thing called like these patch operators or prototype patching where we say import RxJS add operator map. Mm-hmm, and that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Why is that a problem?
It's a problem. A lot of people don't realize it's a problem, but it's a problem because what happens is people end up writing libraries or shared bits of code that will add operators to observable, and then somebody else ends up depending on that code and not realizing that they never added scan, let's say some other library added scan, and then that library removes it and their code breaks. So that's one problem. Another problem is by taking the operators and adding them all onto the prototype, we can't possibly tree shake away operators we're not using. So if you add operators onto it and then you cease to use them for some reason, there's no real great way via a build process to ensure that you're not including code that you don't want. So what we want to do is try to migrate people away from using these patched on operators and migrate them towards something where they still get the nice chaining. But they're able to tree shake and not patch a prototype and mess up other people's apps and that sort of thing. So we're going to do this.
Just think about the docs and wanting to help.
the docs need a lot of help. In order to do this, we're going to move towards what are commonly referred to these days as lettable operators. I've been calling them operator functions. And what you have is you'll have a higher order function that takes the same arguments as a normal operator would, but it returns another function, and that function it returns takes an observable and returns a new observable. And that's the signature of let, which is an operator currently in RxJS. And that's why they're called lettables. But what this means is you're using kind of some trickery and functional programming to build operator chains. So you could say let and then this operator and then another let and this next operator, but we've gone one further and I'm adding this compose function, which is a very, very simple, small function, a little bit of trickery. And what it does is it says, I can take a rest of many different functions and unary functions. So functions that take one value and return one value, and I can merge them into a single unary function that takes one value and returns one value. That executes all those functions in order. So what that means is we can have this compose method. So you'd say myObservable.compose and then add all your operators in there in order that you've imported at the top. And we could tree shake away operators you weren't using if someone decided they weren't using them anymore, and it would just work. And in order to get this to work, in TypeScript especially, the TypeScript team has put in some extra effort at my request, and I'm very, very thankful for that. In TypeScript 2.4, they've got better type inference for this sort of situation. Because before, when you had, like, say, a compose function, like I was talking about, and then you had these higher order functions in there, there was no way for it to figure out that, oh, this map changed this, you know, string to an integer. So in the next operator or whatever, that type needs to be an integer, and then maybe you're changing it to something else, and then you need to change the type again, and so on. Like, it couldn't infer that typing very well, so everyone would have had to manually type in older versions of Teams.
A little bit better as well from a, just like from a testing perspective, hopefully.
From a building and developer ergonomics perspective, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, so the downside is to get to where we have this functionality, we have to upgrade from TypeScript 2.0 to 2.4. And to go from 2.0 to 2.1, there's breaking changes.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah, there's a, it's a small breaking change. It's not exciting. It's a small breaking change because they changed what you can do as far as extending air objects, which we were doing in RX 5. So in order to do this, we're going to have to jump to a minimum of RxJS 6.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we should have all the lettable operators should land in, say, version 5.5, 5.6. That'll happen in the 5 series because we're adding lettable operators. We're not going to remove the patch operators yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we'll keep the patch operators probably through RX6 and add deprecation warnings that we're going to remove them eventually. Mm-hmm. And then inevitably by like RX7, we'll probably remove them. But people that are using bundlers like Webpack and stuff, if they're using these lettable operators, they'll get tree shaking right away. They'll have they'll have a smaller customized library based on their own bundling process right off the bat. It'll help them tremendously. So the Angular team is particularly excited about this because they want RX to be smaller because they use a lot of RX.
How many times did Igor jump up and down when you told him this? Five?
Probably something like that.
Five's about a good number.
He's a very excitable guy.
Seems like a number five. Five jumps. One, two,
he's
three,
a five
four,
jumper.
Five. Yeah. One, two, three. Three.
Igor's a five.
He's a three jumper.
He's a three jumper.
Okay. So, yeah. When I hear this, I'm like, okay. So, yes, there is a path to deprecation. You're not, like, doing it immediately. You're not taking it away immediately. But, God. What's the refactor going to look like?
All right. So we have a roadmap that I think you've already mentioned. The roadmap is, it's right now, it's like in a private gist. I need to change some of the version numbers so that I'm estimating things will land in around a little bit.
Right.
But the roadmap basically looks like this. We're going to add all the lettable operators first.
Mm-hmm.
In the process of doing that, we will refactor some of the operators to be built upon other operators to try to help reduce the size a little. We're also going to go through and refactor some of these. There's like these different types of observables, like the pairs observable, for example, that they're not used that often. So we don't really need custom classes built on top of observable or extending observable. So what we can do is just implement them as functions that return, you know, new observable, and then build that stuff inside it. And it just kind of reduced the size of that a little bit because there's maybe a little bit of bloat around the class code that gets exported with TypeScript. There's other things that are going to happen when we can finally update to TypeScript 2.1. We should be able to remove some of the there's like TypeScript extends methods that get repeated for every one of the classes we use. That some of that can go away. But the big thing is add these lettables up front, let people start using them, start publishing ES modules in a way that the community wants, in particular the Angular community, because I think they're the number one customer that kind of deals with that sort of thing.
But the React community should be pretty happy about that too.
And yeah, we can do that before. Yeah, I think so. We can do that before before version 6.
Nice.
And then version 6 will be, okay, we're shipping version 6 just to update TypeScript to the latest version, which involves a breaking change. And we ship a few other kind of corner case breaking changes in there that are things that have been sitting around and waiting for us to fix. There are lots of things that are like bug fixes that are bugs that people might be relying on. So those are breaking changes, even though they're small and edge casey, we still save them for version 6. And then after that, there's going to be a road of trying to reduce the size of the library during version 6 and inevitably remove those patch operators.
Nice.
So deprecate them over the course of version 6. So that's the big road. That's the big roadmap. That's the big plan.
I think for me, I'm like, ooh, 'cause this is actually the first time we've talked like, we've talked high level about the roadmap before, but we haven't talked details about, like, exactly how it's going to be implemented, mm-hmm. which I think is very exciting.
Yeah.
So I'm going to shameless plug that this dot at Labs does have people like you or Jay or other core contributors of RxJS available to help companies if they're like, oh, F you, RxJS 6. Like, you don't have to worry. There's people out there that can actually help you.
That's a shameless plug.
That was a pretty shameless plug.
You have no shame.
Sometimes I have shame.
Sometimes you're ashamed.
Yeah. Sometimes when I want to eat, like, McDonald's and a cheeseburger and a Diet Coke and a small fries with no salt. Specifically with no salt, so they make them fresh. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. Then you put your own salt on it?
Yeah, then you ask for salt. But if you say no salt, then they'll make it fresh
for you. You're messing with them. Well, I want mine with no salt, and then they make you fresh ones. You're like, okay, can you add salt to that, please?
Yeah, exactly. I want some freshness. Anyway, so when that happens, I have shame, but I don't share it. But I just did on the internet, so.
Yeah.
Let's see if you missed anything. So we talked about reducing the size, tree shaking, lettable operators. Did we talk about error handling changes?
No. So that's another area where, mm-hmm. and T-Rex did this, the prototype.
Mm-hmm.
In order to reduce size, and this will probably be like a version 7 thing.
Mm-hmm. By the way, when is version 7?
It won't be long out. Like after we release 6, it would be a few months before we would start putting out betas of 7, but it won't be a long time because the idea is that the breaking changes between each major version won't be that bad. You know,
but
it's
not like
rewriting the world.
Is like 6 coming out in a few months ish?
6, we already have an alpha right now of 6, but it doesn't include all the stuff I'm talking about yet. It's just an alpha so people can start trying RxJS with TypeScript 2.3 or 2.4 and higher.
Okay.
So there's that 2.4 and higher. There's only 2.4 mm-hmm. right now. So mm-hmm. they can start trying mm-hmm. with the latest TypeScript. And the idea is that will probably be an alpha for a few weeks. And then we'll try to get, I think, the middle of August to try to get 6 shipped.
Mm-hmm.
But at the very least, before then, even if 6 doesn't ship, we will definitely have the lettable operators. We will definitely have the ES module published mm-hmm. for people to use. So those two things will be a really big deal for people trying to reduce the size of Rx and get better tree shaking.
Cool. Does that mean you're updating all your stuff in Rx Workshop?
Yeah, I guess I'll have to do that.
So those wrinkles are like the number of hours. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
10 wrinkles. I really have 10. Holy crap.
You're right. But anyways, 10 hours. Each wrinkle represents 10 years of your life taken away from having to do all this work. I'm just kidding.
Oh, man. I've got like more over there.
10 hours. I'm going to count it later. I was like, 11 hours. You forgot about that one.
Forgot about the last, the uppermost wrinkle.
Okay, so
you gave me at least 3 of these wrinkles. I want you to know that.
Well, I'm very proud of contributing to your beautiful face.
So sweet.
So, let's talk about the testing framework.
All right, testing framework. Mm-hmm.
Do it, Ben. Do it now. What song is that?
I don't know. I think you just made it up.
Do it now. By the way, I like your shirt. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, my
Native script.
I still need to use Native script. I just
we're doing it.
We're doing it. You're going to teach me some Native script.
Well, you said you wanted to teach me Redux tonight, so Native script might have to wait.
Oh, no, I said I was going to teach you to feed ducks tonight.
Yeah. Okay. So testing framework. Yeah. This is another hot topic that everybody wants to hear your you about. Oh, I just saw another wrinkle up here because you're so stressed out.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I know this stuff gets you really excited. Yeah,
I do. I like this stuff a lot. So the testing framework, during all of the other work that we're doing,
mm-hmm.
we have to touch schedulers a lot. Mm. And the testing framework, the testing right now as it stands,
mm-hmm.
relies on schedulers, mm-hmm. like wholly.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is you've got this virtual scheduler
mm-hmm.
that you can queue a bunch of stuff in and then you can flush it and it runs all the scheduled things synchronously. Mm-hmm. Even if it's scheduled in the future, it's scheduled in like a virtual future. Mm-hmm. And there's some, or like right now it's good enough to test probably 70% of use cases, but there's mm-hmm. this other 30%, like really long running observables. It's not particularly good at really like minute detail type observables. It's not particularly good at. There's some real ergonomics issues around trying to, there's like a lot of boilerplate you end up having to write to do these things. So we've got plans and this has been attempted like two or three times. Mm-hmm. The roadblock that people hit is they get to where, oh, we're going to have to change something about scheduling. And since we have to change scheduling anyways, in order to accommodate the moving of all the air handling to a scheduler, mm-hmm. which incidentally that came from MostJS and Brian Cavalier, I worked with him, it was like a year ago or something, and mm-hmm. came up with this idea. But since we have to touch all that stuff anyways, it's the ideal time to go and rebuild the test scheduler and try to make it more consumable for the masses. Did we have drinks off camera?
Brought to you by, just kidding.
Oh, there's
one. But I do like LaCroix.
Brought to you by Crystal Geyser.
Okay, so drink water. It's healthy. We should get paid for this.
We should.
We'll tweet at them. okay, so yes, exciting. So, sorry, did you finish everything you wanted to say about the testing framework?
Yeah, the idea is we're going to try to make it a lot more ergonomic, and it's got to be able to cover anybody's use case, even if it's, you know, an observable that runs for 7 days. Mm-hmm. And still be able to use the marbles.
But this is like after ArcGIS 7 almost, or like in sync with ArcGIS 7 is sort of when you're thinking about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the other thing too, since I'm working now at Google and working mm-hmm. a lot with the Angular team, there's likely to be some attempted integration at some of their fake async stuff that they do in their testing framework. So, we'll see. Async. That's pretty async. Good. I like that.
Me too.
Async.
Okay, good. Okay, so there's a few things that I think probably people are excited about or wondering about when they hear you talk about these things. Mm-hmm. So first off, you know, we hear a lot of RxJS and Angular. Dude, you keep moving things.
Oh, I'm like shaking the whole...
Yeah,
whoa.
I know. Oh, God! It's an earthquake in California! All right, so, Okay, RxJS, only external dependency in Angular. You now working at Google. Oh my gosh, React community for some reason is like, no, we lost you, but they didn't. And RxJS is still a thing in React. So can you just like reassure us, like, what is that? Like, RxJS and Angular aren't the same.
Oh, they're married. They're having babies now. Oh, I've totally forgotten React. It's horrible. I'm never going to use it again.
Well, unless you're using it with me, which is tonight. Okay, with Redux.
All right.
Anyways, but yeah, feeding ducks.
Wait, no. feed ducks. But no, it's important to me that RxJS works well for everybody, and the changes that are being made are changes that need to be made to make Rx better for everyone.
Yes.
So if someone's trying to make a really lightweight app with like Preact and reactive programming or Vue or whatever, then RxJS should still be should be a strong, viable choice for them to.
That's good.
Use.
Good, good. So, do you see like RxJS growing more in the React or the Angular community now, more so than React? And we know it's popular in both. It's obviously way popular in Angular right now. But
yeah, I've honestly seen a lot of growth. Just in general, I think in React, there seems to be a lot of, in the React community, seems to be a lot of fickleness around like their state management, their async management choices. Like they'll be like, oh, you know, Redux is the best thing ever. And then it's like, no, MobX is the best thing ever. And then you got Ryan Florence, no, go back to set state. And everyone goes and does that. And like, it's just like, there's this kind of cycle thing that they've got going on.
You're like, wait, RxJS.
Yeah, and I mean, there is this small but growing contingency of people that will like just that they're using Rx or whatever, and they're just huge fans of it. Because you can do all these things with Rx
and write as less well. Code.
Right. Mm. The downside to Rx, I'll be the first one to tell anybody, is you have to know all this vernacular around Rx. You have to like know the operators and what they do. And you know, that does put some burden on your team to right. know those things too, if you're working in a team. But the benefit is you write way less code and mm-hmm. accomplish more. And if we're also shipping a library that's much, much smaller and still very performant,
right.
Then, you know, it's a big win. It's a bigger
right.
win.
Right. Right. So. I totally agree. My name is Tracy Lee and I endorse RxJS. Is that good?
I think that's good.
A politician.
That's good. Yeah. I'll pay you later.
Okay. But really though, you're buying me dinner, right?
Okay. We'll work something out.
No, really though. So, okay. Another thing is
I'm asked to be a guest on a podcast and then I've got to buy dinner. She should be buying me dinner.
I just endorsed RxJS.
Okay. The Tracy Lee endorsement is, that's something. The Lady Lee endorsement.
Okay. So other thing is, a lot of people sort of thinking about starting to use RxJS. I know we sort of went like super, super complex RxJS and then going back to, isn't RxJS just like Lodash?
Isn't it?
No.
Maybe. I mean, so you're asking me if it's just like Lodash? Like
yeah.
the people? No, it's not. I mean, you can use it for some of the same things that Lodash gets mm-hmm, used for, mm-hmm. but because you could make an observable from an array and then do a bunch of stuff to it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's about treating events as sets of things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can treat all of your events, no matter what they are, as sets of things, then that's a really good thing. Is that means that you can hot swap out any event for anything else. And what I talked about in my talk at FluentConf yesterday was that
I wasn't listening.
You weren't listening to my talk. You were there. So what we were
isn't it terrible?
It's terrible. But what I was talking about there is just if you think about what you're really doing in a program,
mm-hmm.
you're updating values, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to know when to update the values. You can't just update all the values at once mm-hmm. because there are certain values that you use to render on the screen and certain values you use to play sounds and so mm-hmm. on that you're updating in memory.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to know when to update them. And in order to know when to update them, we have events.
Mm-hmm.
So at a very, very high level, if we can have sets of events that we can query and join and do all these things, then pretty much everything you're doing in a program can be represented in this way and be, you can build all of those behaviors with these sets that you can filter and transform and join and, you know, do all these wonderful things that you can do in Rx, add delays to. And, these
and you can't do that in Lodash because there are no events in Lodash, right?
That's right. Lodash is designed to deal with iterables and arrays and that sort of thing. And it's got some other functionality in there too. But
pull-based.
Yeah, I mean, technically it would be more pull-based or it's just more, a lot of it is dealing with arrays or whatever. Like it's very, you build some kind of declarative things out if you're chaining, I think, with it. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, you kind of get some imperative, like some value, and then you imperatively deal with it. Like mm-hmm. it's made for dealing with arrays or things synchronously. There's no async stuff, I don't really think, in Lodash.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or if there is, it's edge casey. Like they have got throttling and debouncing type functionality, but it's not made to deal with sets of events. It's made to just like alter a function kind of thing.
Mm. Another big thing that a lot of people say to me when they think about RxJS or, you know, they haven't used it is, isn't RxJS really big? Didn't the Angular team have a problem with pulling in RxJS and it pulled in all of RxJS and you couldn't use just one operator?
yes and no. So RxJS is bigger than it could be. Right? That's what we're working on now, is trying to get it smaller. But part of the reason it's so big is because we're trying to make it very, very fast across the board in every single corner of it when it came to execution time,
mm-hmm.
As far as like operations per second kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it is big. It could be smaller. We did make it more modular in this iteration. So theoretically, you know, you can still get it to be smaller just by only including the operators mm-hmm. you need. But our approach precluded things like tree shaking. So mm-hmm. we mm-hmm. want to change that as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I do not know of any stories where Angular require like actually pulled in all of Rx. Like I don't think that was ever a thing, or if it was, it was very, very short-lived.
Or maybe like I think a lot of this is just when people import RxJS, they don't realize that they can import just like what they need, like just import right. subject, just import observable, yeah. or just import the specific operator you need. And then when they actually do, they don't actually know how to do it. So right. it's really understanding those types of things.
Right, right. And as time goes on, once we're up to like versions 7 or 8 or something like mm-hmm. that, and we have all the operators are lettable, and mm-hmm. we don't have patch operators anymore,
mm-hmm.
then we can actually have RxJS proper
mm-hmm.
Export any type, any of the operators, whatever, and we'd still be able to tree shake away things that weren't being used. Mm-hmm. So there would be no way to accidentally include all of Rx anymore if you were bundling and you were doing tree shaking.
Mm-hmm.
It should just shake off anything you were using.
Shake it off.
Shakshuka.
Shakshuka. But it's more, what's that song? Shake, shake, shake it off. I don't know the song.
I don't know. All I know is Mickey Mouse Clubhouse for my kids. And there's one where like, shake, shake, shake your peanut. Do, do,
do, do, do. Is that like Shake Your Booty? Shake your booty. Is there a Shake Your Booty song? Shake,
for kids?
Shake,
shake. Probably no.
Shake, shake, shake. Shake your booty. I don't think
that's Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Okay. I thought I was crazy for a second.
Yeah.
Shake
your booty. Shake your booty.
See, there we go.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about Redux Observable? I mean, you know, I'm all excited now about this, like, React and managing state and wanting to learn all the different ways to manage state because, yay, mm-hmm. I'll probably stick with RxJS and I want to learn this Redux thing.
Yep.
but tell us about Redux Observable a little bit.
Okay, so in order to understand Redux Observable, you'd have to know what Redux is about. Mm-hmm. And so Redux is really about managing state synchronously. So you can dispatch an action from your component or from wherever,
mm-hmm.
and the dispatched action gets put into a reducer, and a reducer is this function that gives you the previous state
mm-hmm.
and gives you the action,
mm-hmm.
and then you're expected to return a new state.
Mm-hmm. I really like Redux now. Just like explaining that to me, I'm like, ooh, that's awesome.
So every time you dispatch an action, it's going to go up and it's going to go into the reducer, and again, mm-hmm. you'll get whatever the previous state was mm-hmm. from the last time it was called,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the action. Then you make a decision based on what the action is, and you update the state in some way, and you return the new state.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing about this pattern is it's great because it's very easy to test. You can usually serialize the actions so you can replay them if you mm-hmm. want. You can kind of get snapshots of the entire state of your app. It's a really compelling architecture, and it kind of takes the state management out of your components and away from your view,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which is, it's actually kind of a good thing because then your view layer is replaceable. Like mm-hmm. you're not necessarily stuck to React or mm-hmm. stuck to anything,
mm-hmm.
but the downside is it doesn't handle anything asynchronous.
Mm-hmm.
So if button clicks or you want to do some Ajax thing and then dispatch the action, like that's not a thing you can really do. So there's all these different middlewares for a Redux. There's one called Redux Thunk in which you dispatch functions that are going to be called that return like a promise to an action
mm-hmm,
or something.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one called Redux Saga that uses generators to kind of give you like this way to manage asynchronicity, like, and then dispatch actions.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we vetted those when I was working at Netflix, mm-hmm. Jay Phelps and I, and both of them could do an awful lot, but couldn't do everything that we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, I'm an Rx guy, so him and I put our heads together, and I came up with a design, and he came up with a different design. We ended up going back to kind of the original, but what it boils down to is Redux Observable. You give it what we call an epic, and the epic is
EPIC?
Yes.
Yes.
I think it's epic.
Like on purpose.
Yeah, that's the real name. On purpose.
You should have called it Dude.
dude.
Give it a dude.
Give it a dude.
Anyways, give it an epic. Yeah. I like that. Okay, keep going.
So we give it an epic. And the epic is a function that gives you an observable of all actions that have been dispatched already to the store, to the mm-hmm. reducer. And you're expected to return a new observable of actions to be dispatched. Mm. So if you were just to pass through, it would kind of get stuck in an infinite loop as soon as you dispatched an action. But what that means is you can take the actions. You can say, for this type of action, switch map and do this Ajax request or something. And when that comes back, take the result of it and dispatch this action. Like, I've got this result thing. So you can then dispatch an action that says, hey, start loading a thing. And it might not affect your current state. Maybe it does, but probably not. It's going to go up into the epic, and the epic will say, hey, I'm looking for an action of type start loading thing. And I'm going to switch map that into my Ajax call. And when the Ajax comes back, it'll dispatch an action of thing loaded. And that will then go into your reducer and update state. So that's the entirety of mm-hmm. Redux Observable in a nutshell. That's what most people need to know.
Cool.
So we got some cool functional programming tricks in there Redux to help Observable. Organize and whatever, but yeah.
Can you use Redux Observable with Angular?
Yeah. You can use Redux and Redux Observable with Angular. The trick is, so there's this thing with Redux called, I think it's called like React Redux Connect or something like that. But there's some wiring you have to do to connect Redux to your React components. Mm-hmm. And there's a library that does that for you that I think mm-hmm. Facebook maintains. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm sure there is. Actually, I know for a fact that there are libraries that do that for Angular. Mm-hmm. I'm just not familiar enough with any of them to really recommend one.
Yeah, for sure.
But and the other thing is, if you look at NGRX is basically a lot of the same sort of design. Like, they have epics, basically. I don't know if they call them epics. They probably should, because it's a great name. Mm-hmm. But there's like a decorator that they use called Effect or something like that. Mm-hmm. But that's the same sort of idea. Just all those things encapsulated in the same, like, just organized differently.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So. Well, that was exciting, Ben. We talked for a little bit.
Oh, thanks.
A little bit of time. Was it fun?
It was good, yeah. I'm happy to share this stuff.
I know. I'm super stoked.
We don't actually talk about this stuff that much. I mean, we talk about it a little bit, but not like
in
detail.
What do we talk about? When we're talking about songs.
We talk about Jay Phelps.
Talk about Jay Phelps.
Yeah.
What do we talk about with Jay Phelps? Let's not embarrass him. We talk about Jay a lot, though.
We do.
Yeah.
It's a huge topic of conversation.
Jay! Say it. Jay.
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 Jay. Oh, my God. This is recorded. And yeah. It's going on the internet.
Yeah. We should just get that clip and, like, loop it.
Jay.
Put it on his Twitter.
Wait, hold on. It's a JavaScript song. I have songs.
Oh, God. We're going to do it another time. We're going to punctuate that. This is where people are closing.
I like how people, JavaScript song, wannabe, rubber ducky, reactive duckies. I mean, we've already sang that. I don't know why I searched my Google Drive for JavaScript. Like, that's going to, like, bring up, you know, the songs.
She's doing this on her phone, too, so you can't see because it's down below the camera, but this is...
Oh, yes. Yeah. Let me also promote the PopSocket, which I did not get for free, although I should now since I'm promoting it. Like, how easy it is.
How much is a PopSocket?
It's like $8.99 or something.
And it's collapsible. It's not like an actual doorknob.
The case matches. Oh, no, see. We'll just... You know how, like, JavaScript Jabber and all those other ones do top picks? Or, like, this week's picks.
Yeah.
This is my pick. Because you can also put it down. See that? So convenient.
And, wow.
Yeah, I know. And you can do
and
this.
And you can make a little table for ants.
And you can take selfies. Wait, hold on. Let's take a selfie. You could try harder.
I could try harder.
Is that trying harder? That's, like, trying less.
I'm not as photogenic.
All right, I'm pretty depressed that we don't have a song, but Oh, what was that one song we sang? Like that everybody started waving around. It was the last song.
Oh.
Imagine all the people.
All the frameworks.
Imagine all the developers. No, imagine all the frameworks.
Yeah.
Imagine all the frameworks.
Living life in peace.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
I don't know the words. I don't know. I was purely reading the lyrics. He's looking at the camera disappointed. Ben is disappointing me again.
It's okay, you're buying me dinner. No, like really though, right? Ben's buying me dinner. Thanks, Ben. It's the first time you've ever done anything nice for me. Oh, look, Jade Phelps tentatively accepted all the 3 calendar invites I sent him for his social life.
Yeah, if you're friends with Tracy, you get a lot of...
tentatively accepted.
If you're friends with Tracy, you get a lot of calendar invites.
It's true.
Like every now and then you'll wake up in the morning because she's East Coast and you'll just be like, if you're on the West Coast, then you'll be like, Tracy Lee.
Yeah.
June dinner, July dinner,
August dinner, September dinner. I plan them all out. Oh, you're speaking at these 3 events. It's great.
Yes.
I sounded Italian right there. I don't know why.
You sound a little bit like Count Chocula or something.
All right. Anyways, I'm pretty sure we're getting boring now.
Yep.
Oh, where can we find you on the internet?
At Ben Lish on Twitter.
Okay. But really, you can find yourself at Lady Lee because I'm kidding.
Tracy is my keeper.
No. Are you my keeper because you're buying me dinner tonight? Like,
yeah.
You're not? I'm pretty sad.
Yeah,
Okay, wait, hold on. Yeah, okay, so you can. Yeah,
I'm gonna do it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, you can find Ben on Twitter at Ben Lush on Twitter. You can find me at Lady Lee on Twitter. And I guess I don't know other things. RX Workshop.
If
you want to learn RxJS, there's pre-recorded workshops online where you can have just like an 8-hour thing. To learn RxJS.
I love that. I really like doing the workshops. It's a big deal to me.
To teach people RxJS.
Yeah. It's funny. You go out and you meet people and it's fun to teach this stuff to people and I like it. I get a big kick out of going to do it.
Yeah. I'm actually shocked because I can now answer questions like for reals.
Yeah.
In RxJS. Which, you know, I think I went to 5 trainings, didn't pay attention. I was like, well, I should probably
You should add. Sorry. You could add RxJS Jeopardy to your Jeopardy game.
Oh my God, why don't I do that? What is wrong with me?
You have like Vue and React and Angular and Ember.
It's not important enough to me, Ben. You could buy me dinner and we could talk.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that.
Really? What dessert? Okay, if you buy me dessert, I'll make RxJS.
Okay, dessert, but only because I don't eat the whole dessert, so I just want like a bite.
You don't get a bite.
No, I get a bite.
No.
I get a nibble. I get something.
What do you call it with your kids? Dad tax?
Daddy tax. I get daddy tax.
I call it a Tracy tax.
Tracy tax.
If you ever go out to dinner with me, I'll eat all your food. I'll eat one bite of everybody's food before I eat mine.
That's true. Anyway. After you take pictures of all of it.
That's true too. All right. Anyways, see y'all later. Thanks for listening to this episode of Modern Web.
Hey there. Are you into reactive programming using JavaScript? Do you have to deal with asynchrony in your web app? Then join this .NET instructor, Ben Lesh, to learn all of the ins and outs of RxJS in his hands-on workshop. Available online and in person, go to rxworkshop.com for more details and to book your spot today.